On today's Compassion Radio.
It's just a wake-up call for us as believers in Christ to really truly believe the Christ of the Bible. I've just noticed that a lot of times people pick and choose what they want out of the Word and discard the things that make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to take Jesus as a whole. You can't pick him apart.
Hello, friends, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio. Last week, we began an inspiring series devoted to the art and the ministry of Michael O'Brien. While I expected plenty of interesting stories, Michael knocked it out of the park when it came to the spiritual lessons he's learned along the way. He's back for one more day, and what he has for us this time, I think, completely nails it. At a time when we've given fear far too much say in our lives, the answer is not reckless individualism. The antidote to fear, spiritual fear, if we care to read our Bibles at all, is to allow God's love and compassion to flood our hearts and our actions. Now, we can say that all day long, but sometimes we need someone to awaken our hearts to the truth. After all, it's the emotional core of who we are, where the passion itself lives. And what moves our hearts more than great music? If you've heard any of our earlier programs on Michael's Crown Him album project, you know that this is no run-of-the-mill collection of songs. There's real power here. We start today with a recap of that inspirational standard titled Praise the Lord. Michael sings it with a conviction that you probably haven't heard in a while. This album is our special thank you for your support of Compassion Radio this month. I'll tell you how you can get a copy for you or someone you love later in the broadcast.
When you're up against a struggle and it shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, and don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. For our God inhabits praise, praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work. The chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Oh, when you praise. Oh, when you praise him.
Let me give you a little background of what our family's been going through the past few months. When I got the album and did the download, we had just lost my mother-in-law, and Sandy was just beginning this year of firsts, the grief of losing both her parents and feeling the loss of that. She heard this song come up. She slipped into the office and closed the door and immediately burst into tears, because this song was where she met Jesus. She had been in the church all her life, And it was at an Imperials concert when Russ Taff sang the song. And she knew that moment that God was calling her. She stood at the front of that auditorium with Russ Taff leading her to Jesus and praying the prayer. When Sandy heard you sing this, Michael, she said it was like being reborn again.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
How ironic.
Yeah. We had just finished doing a series together on the book of Acts. We've done this Chasing the Word series on Mondays for the past year. And from about Pentecost to Pentecost, we focus on the book of Acts from beginning to end. And we ended up this past couple weeks with that last push in to Rome. And of course, the word of God leaves us hanging. Luke left the story about the time that the entourage with Paul arrived in Rome. We talked about how excited Paul was to be in chains, that his whole path to the culmination of his ministry, as God had revealed it to him through prophet after prophet, through prayer after prayer, through revelation after revelation, was, you will go and speak before Caesar and the entire empire. You're going there, but you'll go as my prisoner. And the prophets came and literally bound themselves, saying, if you do this, Paul, this will be what you face. And he knew this for years before he even got to Jerusalem and off to Rome under escort. He knew that he was going to end in chains. But for him, there was absolutely no fear in that. His chains served to remind him that he was going to the place that God had called him, and there was no shame in it. What is it, Michael, in singing a song like that now, that you want the church to hear and experience that we may have forgotten over the years since a song like this was written?
Oh my goodness. Well, it is interesting because I've been doing this song and this medley for over, I want to say, a year and a half now in concert when I get to do concerts. The amazing part about this particular song out of the three, it's not that they don't like all three of them, but this particular song really resonates with some of the older believers, you know, the era of the 70s and the 80s, these people who are like, I came to know Christ through that song. You know, this, I just heard you say that about Sandy. The power of that lyric, one of the things that really struck me during this song, especially during the chorus, our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. I had a friend of mine who lost his daughter in a drunk driving accident. His wife and his daughter were in the car. His wife almost passed, but his daughter passed on impact. When I heard about it, I traveled with this guy. He was a new song. He was one of my best friends. I just got in the car. I drove up to Chicago from Nashville. Didn't ask any questions. Didn't even tell him I was coming. I just knew I needed to be there. And I'll never forget, while I was leading worship that night, I was singing, Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away. And as I saw my buddy Leonard and his wife and their daughter and their son right next to them, lifting hands and worshiping God, in tears, by the way, even though their daughter was no longer, that picture of seeing somebody praise him in the midst of the worst struggle that any parent could ever imagine. We talked about this earlier about losing our own children. It just slayed me. So when I sing this particular song, I typically see a lot of people just stand up, get on their knees. I don't know. It just soothes the soul, I suppose. And it speaks truth. I was just going to do a verse and a chorus of praise the Lord. But then I got to that second verse. Now Satan is a liar. And he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the king. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Man, if that doesn't do it for you, if that doesn't bring to mind the power of Christ in the midst of praise, then I just don't know what to tell you. I'll just continue to sing this song probably till the day I die, brother. I love it that much. And I think you're right. It's just one of those songs that will live on because it's truth, and the truth sets us free.
Yeah. It keeps getting more powerful as we go into the stories, my friend. The Crown Hymn Project that is highlighted on Compassion Radio this month and next, available on our website for download or for CD for those who would be supporting this ministry, also supports you. And I hope that many, many people will wipe us out of our supply, not just because it's support for the ministry and the ongoing work of Compassion Radio, but because it lifts up those like Michael who do an excellent job of appealing to us in the name of Jesus and the power of his Spirit to live better, to live beyond what the world would say is enough. I don't have enough of him yet. And even in a time like this, where it seems like everything's being stripped away, people losing jobs or friends of mine that don't know what to do next, or, you know, we're bringing boxes of food around to friends that we know, It's going to be a struggle for a while with this particular chapter, which is the coronavirus pandemic. But there's more to it. There will be other challenges that come afterwards. There'll be other people who suffer losses. There'll be other people who lose sight, for whatever reason, of how glorious it is to be in God's presence and will maybe lose faith along the way or shatter to the core. A truth like this in the music that you sing, Michael, can bring back to life that which seemed dead. And that's why I think the arts are something that God has especially blessed us with as human beings. We have music. We have the written word. We have life. We can use all those things in worship. How shall we end this conversation, my friend? What song shall we focus in on?
Well, I think it worked itself out, Bram. The last one that I would end with is what I would end with any concert that I've done in the past, and it would be the Lord's Prayer. That is something that I have done over the last 10 years. There's something about the Word of God put to music. And of course, there are different versions of this song. Yep. And obviously, I didn't do the original one. I ended up writing something different. I wrote this in Windshape, which is in Rome, Georgia. Chick-fil-A owns this retreat for couples. And I was in, they call it the Frost Chapel. And I sat down and I began to just write this melody. And the Lord doesn't speak to me audibly, but I felt as if He was speaking to my heart, saying, put the Lord's Prayer to this melody that you had written. And I did. And ever since, I've always performed this song. And I hate to even say perform it, but I've played it.
Yeah.
It seems to be that one of the songs that everybody's asking for.
Yeah.
Now you're about to hear the song with the band in at the end. Just the amen kind of seals it all up. But this is the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read several books over the last 3 months on prayer. One of the books was by J.I. Packer, The Lord's Prayer. I read another one on Martin Luther using the Lord's Prayer to pray. And one other one. It's such a great model for us. It doesn't mean that we just need to say the words and, you know, like a mantra or something.
Right.
But I do think it's a guide for us. And that's how I would end it this way.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Michael, what you're saying about it being the model for prayer is really essential, and that it's not a mantra. And the way it's used in most rituals, the kind of ways we either start or end a service or use it as an amen to a sermon, we know the words by rote, and then we argue about whether or not we're doing the Matthew or Luke version.
Yeah.
And the words being just slightly different in the emphasis that was put on by the authors at the time. It was meant to be a model. In other words, we need to understand why He said the things He did at the time He did, in the context He did, can be the template upon which we can know that God's going to hear us.
Yeah.
Because there is a wavelength that He wants us on that only His Spirit can put us on, where we know that when the words come out of our lips, that God accepts them. There's no fear of us entering into that and muddying it up and making it selfish, making it about us instead of Jesus. The Lord's Prayer is all about what His Father wanted, what His Father intended for Him to pray and to live. And Jesus modeled that for us because He was modeling that life. Let's hear the second half of that chorus.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For
Thine is the kingdom in the power.
Michael, I think that finishes the argument about whether there's going to be drums in heaven.
Oh, man, for sure.
We'll be back for more of my conversation with Michael O'Brien in just a moment. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now for more of my discussion with Michael O'Brien. What is it about the Lord's Prayer in your own life that has transformed the way you pray?
Well, I have to tell you, I think it, where it says, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's passed by me many, many times, even up when I said it. One day it was just like, do you really mean that? Do you really want my will and not your will?
Yeah.
And I think there would be times when I would probably say, no, I probably wanted my will and not God's will. But as I've gotten closer to the Lord, as he's revealed the things that he's revealed to me over the years, I realize his will is best. Mm. He knows best. Yeah, I think it can be an eye-opener for us when we really want to have God's will. I think a lot of times we think, hey, Lord, I got this. Mm-hmm. Give me this for a second. It's almost like I really know what I'm doing here. Yeah. And we really don't. We make our plans, but God directs our steps. And so I trust him. It really does come down to that trust that he is going to do what's best. Yeah, I've struggled with it for years, Bram. And I don't think I've arrived either. Even as I'm talking about this, I realize there are certain things in my life I need to die to. It's just a death process, isn't it? We're always dying to ourselves. Yeah. For me, to live as Christ, to die as gains.
I think it's the only kind of death we can talk about today that is a good thing.
Yeah, it is true.
There's plenty of temptations to let our living death, which is our selfishness and our self-importance, our Invictus attitude, in the face of God, to shake our fist in one way or another and say, I've got this, or how dare you insinuate yourself or demand of me anything.
Mm.
The severe individualism, which is expressed in all kinds of selfish ways. We're living in an age where we are a hair's breadth away from being able to justify all kinds of selfishness and anger and hate.
Mm.
The culture at large is permitting that now. We don't hold each other to account when selfishness arises anymore, and doing it within the church too. And I think that's a very dangerous place to be. The call here is to say, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, expecting God to do it, not our kingdom to be blessed by him, not to do things and expect God to do something with what we do as if we came up with the idea, but simply to say, you don't just have an idea, you got a plan to bless and to multiply your presence and to build your kingdom until all the earth is full of the presence of your glory, that there wouldn't be a square inch left where evil can hide, where we'd be afraid that we would make a misstep, where we would fall into sin anymore. He wants it all. And he poured his blood out so we could have it all, and he could have all of us back. There's real power in that kind of prayer if we understand the mode it's in, and that it's a model for us and not a mantra.
Mm.
Michael, you've spent a great few days with us on Compassion Radio, and the music itself would speak loud enough. but that you've been able to put your heart to us in words as well about how God brought these songs to you and how you brought them to this album is meaningful to me. And I think it's going to move a lot of people to say, yeah, I need that music in my house. You have the last word today. What's the word that God's impressing upon you during these days when we're all, as they say, socially isolated from each other and not able to do the normal things, so to speak? What's God speaking into you these days?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd respond is we need to, you know, stand strong. Not all of us are in the same situation as others, and we have to be compassionate, and we have to be understanding, we have to be loving, and we have to open our eyes to who's around us and what's going on, and not shut our eyes and live in fear. As believers, we should be taking care of, you know, first and foremost ourselves, the body of Christ. We should be ministering to each other and being there. You know, it does my heart good to hear that, Bram, that you're bringing food to friends, and I mean, that's just practically meeting the needs of people right now. And I think that's extremely important. I think the other thing that I've learned and I'm learning still is that a lot of people identify themselves as Christians, but not all people are followers of Christ.
True.
And the only reason I'm saying this, Bram, I'm not leaving it on a downer, just so you know. It's just a wake-up call for us as believers in Christ to really, truly believe the Christ of the Bible. I've just noticed that a lot of times people pick and choose what they want out of the word and discard the things that make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to take Jesus as a whole. You can't pick him apart. And he's teaching me how to maneuver through these waters that I've never been in before, and I think you've never been in before. I think we're all just relying on him and his direction and how we are to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, surrender our hearts in such a way that brings glory so that whatever I do, whether I'm scrubbing toilets, taking garbage out, whatever your job may be that may not be so glorious, but if you do it unto the Lord, it is glorious.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that there are no classes, the upper class, the lower class, the middle class, when it comes to Christ. I had a friend of mine, well, let's put it this way. I like this guy, but I probably wouldn't have gone on vacation with him, okay? And I don't know how else to say that. It was just one of those situations where some of the times I would try to avoid him because he was just a talker. So I was at church. This is back in December. I could see him. He was heading in my direction and he had his cane and he can get a bit long-winded. And I remember he came up and I was going to try to make a quick exit and he grabbed me and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you for a little while. And I remember thinking, this is so sad, Bram. But I remember thinking, oh man, I've got the Titans game is about to come on. I want to get back to the house so I can see this. And I dismissed him and he was fine with it. And I got in my car and I'm driving home. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Michael, you need to go visit him at his house. And I immediately was just, no way. I don't want to do that. And then it happened. The Lord spoke to my heart again. Because I said, well, maybe I should, because he's kind of the lowly and doesn't take care of himself. And immediately when I said those words, this is what came back. Michael, you're the lowly of the low. We're all lowly of the low without Christ. Yeah. And so it opened my eyes. And yes, I have gone to visit him. He's a brother in the Lord. I've called him several times on the phone. The reason I share the story is that we are all in the same playing field, no matter you're rich. No matter if you're poor, we all are in desperate need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the God who said this in his word. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May that encourage your heart right where you are, wherever you are, in the name of Christ.
Great parting words, my friend, but they're not really parting. This is like an introduction to a relationship. And I know that those who are going to be getting your album through Compassion Radio during the season are going to be drawn closer into who you are as a servant and a leader, worship-wise, and through the Word of God. You preach. I mean, God's given you a gift of preaching, and you've had opportunities and platforms upon which to literally preach to the world. But you're not preaching a gospel to yourself. You're not preaching something that comes from man. You're preaching Jesus and Jesus alone. And may that be the strength for all of us right now as we get reacquainted with Jesus, not just his suffering or his grief, but his compassion and his can-do attitude. I mean, there wasn't any place he went where he wasn't resolved to go. He's resolving to go through us right now and be the skin of the body, to touch the world. And we will be literally able to touch each other more in the weeks and months to come. But while we wait, I would pray that we'd all be building up our spiritual muscles and getting prepared for the exercise of his mercy and his grace and his love and his compassion to others. Thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your heart and, of course, your art and your music and your lovely family. It's all in there.
Thank you, man. Hey, it's been an awesome opportunity, Bram. I appreciate you, brother.
Our thanks again to Michael O'Brien, our featured artist. If God has enabled you to support his kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's music project, Crown Him. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, CompassionRadio.com. Thanks for joining us today, friends. Join us again Monday for an all-new Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.